There's something so relaxing about a bowl of cereal. Maybe it's the way it tastes, or... No, that's it. Hello, and welcome to Empty Bowl, a meditative podcast about cereal. My name is Justin McElroy, and I'm a cereal enthusiast.
And my name is Dan Gobert, and I am a cereal understudy. So whenever Cap'n Crunch gets too hungover and can't come into work, they slap a mustache on me and put me on the boxes, and somehow no one's noticed yet.
It's funny because you think of the military as having a pretty strict line of succession there in terms of command chain, but it seems weird they step outside of the Navy to loop in a civilian like yourself.
Yeah, it's fraud and forgery all the way down.
This is a show where all we ask of you, our friends, is that for the next 30 minutes or so, you just relax and you let yourself just think about cereal. That's it. It's pretty easy. We're going to have some news. There'll be some reviews of existing products. And we'll have a lot of fun, as always. So stick around. We are going to start with, though, I think this week maybe a little news to begin things. Because this is a big one, Dan.
It's huge. So... new Monster cereal news just dropped, and as you alluded to, it's pretty groundbreaking in terms of the monster in question breaking out of the ground and onto breakfast shelves. So we're getting our first entirely new Monster cereal in 36 years. Not since the debut of Fruity Yummy Mummy in the late 1980s has this happened. And so the world is now getting to meet Carmella Creeper, a sort of zombie rave DJ girl with a caramel apple cereal who, according to the official lore, on the back of the box at least, is Frankenberry's long-lost cousin. However, you know, familial connections work with a, like, lab-created creature. But, you know, in my headcanon, she is the sister of the Minecraft creeper also. Not only is Carmella getting her own cereal, but she is joining Monster Mash Remix cereal. So, if you recall, a couple years ago, they launched Monster Mash cereal, which is sort of a greatest hits conglomerate of all the monsters together in one box with sort of their different pieces and marshmallows represented. So, this year, even though Fruit Brute and Yummy Mummy are not getting their own solo releases, they're still represented in this Monster Mash Remix, which now has... six constituent monsters now represented.
Yeah, and it's worth noting, if you haven't had these, it's not necessarily their flavors being represented, right? It's more the iconography.
Yeah, I mean, when you have that many different cereals and alleged flavors mixed together in one box, and, like, you know, half of these monster cereal flavors are kind of just different shades of, like... ambiguous fruit flavor to begin with. You can't really differentiate them in the broader mix. But I would think that the caramel apple flavor will hopefully be more pronounced than some of these more muddled fruit mix-ins. I mean, like, the monster cereals, I'm going to be honest, they don't necessarily taste amazing. That's not really why I look forward to them every year.
Yeah, they're pretty bad as far as cereals go. Now, the old version.
Yeah.
Now, if we want to talk about the original Monster cereals that are made out of oat flour, right, those are very, very good.
I mean, we've beaten that undead horse, us sure, and all the Monster cereal fans online. You know, from what I've heard from some sort of insider sources, the issue is known and has been brought up within General Mills, but somewhere up the high chain of authority, no one is making that decision to revert them back to their oat flour. It is weird. It seems like, I don't know, even with the idea of a long-lost cousin, that'd be a good idea to, like, integrate the long-lost recipe as well. I don't know, but...
It's just so sad to see one of these corporations put profits above quality.
Who would have thought?
Yeah. I'm excited to try it, though. You know, I love a caramel apple, and I think that's a fun... seasonal kind of flavor. You know, the other ones aren't particularly seasonal, so I think it's kind of I mean at least she's not like Pamela Pumpkin. You know.
Yeah. I'm glad we got a cool new mascot also. You know, the world is kind of lacking for female cereal mascots, especially like humanoid female cereal mascots.
She's in, like, rarefied air up there. There's, you know, I don't Who else? I mean,
the esteemed lineage of female cereal mascots includes Crazy Cow and Marsha, the chocolate-covered marshmallow. So someone with actual human proportions is a welcome change in terms of representation.
Hey, speaking of pumpkin cereals, it's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Listen, this has got to be one of the worst licensed cereals in concept and execution that I've ever seen. This is
one of the saddest things I've ever seen.
It's like, it's kind of up there with like the Wonka Fruit Loops we talked about, where now it's the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown cereal. And
yeah,
you know, if you were to give anyone a guess as to what a Great Pumpkin cereal would be flavored like, I think most people would guess maybe pumpkin.
Maybe pumpkin, with that being in the title and all.
Not vanilla flavored cereal with marshmallows.
It's gonna be really bad. I mean, it's just, I don't want to be that guy. I can't, you know, it's just not gonna taste good is the problem with this cereal. And the Marbits look wild. I mean, it's just these big chunky spheres of red and green, and the Marbits are all orange, but they're not really like contrasting with the cereal in any meaningful way. I don't understand this.
Yeah, it's funny that the big pull for the box is that by purchasing this, you can get a 1 month trial of Apple TV Plus, which I guess you can probably watch. It's the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown on that particular streaming service, but it almost feels like they manufactured this cereal solely to get that 1 month free trial to consumers. So this will probably be forgettable. I mean, the box is okay. They're kind of in this.
It's certainly something. I mean,
it's no Carmella Creeper, I'll say that.
I will say that it looks like Snoopy is really excited about a basketball.
They do look like basketballs.
I don't know how they messed that up, but.
And the activity on the back of the box is to sort of unscramble the names of the different Peanuts characters to find out who's underneath each different costume. And then you have a character like Lucy, who you're unscrambling the letters C, L, Y, and U.
We got some new Marbits over in Lucky Charms.
So yeah, on the opposite front of, you know, the Charlie Brown cereal being very low tech when it comes to new Marbit innovation, we have the kingpin in the biz of Marbit technology, Lucky Charms, introducing some real alchemy back into our cereal bowl with hidden dragon marshmallows. And like, I don't even understand how this is going to work, where you've got these sort of craggly shaped Marbits that start off as totally white shaped, but apparently when you add them to milk, all these crazy technicolor undertones are revealed. And I mean, this is something I do have to see for myself just to see how that works. I'm a sucker for a good spectacle in my cereal bowl, and this looks right up my alley. And, you know,
reminds me of those, the dino eggs in oatmeal, right? Where you put the hot water on, and all of a sudden you got some dinosaurs running around your bowl. Some gummy dinosaurs, extremely hard gummy dinosaurs.
And the real draw here to me is that they didn't try to mess with the Lucky Charms flavor and end up introducing cornflour to the biz somehow, so we can at least be confident that
these
are going to taste good and like Lucky Charms. And so I'm cool with not pushing the flavor envelope if it means I get to look at some pretty colors and eat a cereal that I've already enjoyed for years.
Yeah. We have some products that are in the here and now, the today, this moment, that I would love to get your perspective on, Dan. This first one is one we were just talking about, I think last episode, the week before. Another one of these weird, like, new cereals from the Great Value Walmart generic line, much like the Apple Fritter compatriots from a couple months ago.
Yeah, so they released a cotton candy cereal, a cinnamon donut cereal, and this one that I simply had to try, which is strawberry lemonade cereal. And man, this cereal rules, let me tell you.
Really?
You gotta find this one and track this one down.
Okay.
I alluded to in the previous episode, or episodes really, that I feel like this is the summer of the lemon in terms of both a cereal sense and an overall general lifestyle sense, where I kind of thought that the Frosted Lemon Cheerios would be the only representation that we got on this like sweet citrusy cereal front. But not only that, not only are we getting the key lime pie cereal from Malto Meal as well, but this strawberry lemonade cereal from Great Value of all brands came out of nowhere, and I just think it's pretty fantastic and a great contrast, especially to those Frosted Lemon Cheerios, which kind of take the more natural, authentically fruited approach to the thing, whereas Great Value here is pulling no punches and making this a very atomically potent and sweetly candied cereal that contrasts like the more traditional sweetness of the strawberry and like the more almost sour lemoniness as well for a really good sweet and sour combo. Not like that kind of sweet and sour, but like the good in a cereal type of sense. And I think that my main thought when I was eating the cereal was just that like this should have been a Trix flavor years ago. Like I think this kind of outpaces Trix in terms of like Trix is kind of the go-to when it comes to a citrusy cereal, but where sort of the citrus in Trix is kind of indistinct and kind of gobs all together into the broader fruity menagerie that is present in that cereal. I think the two dueling components of this strawberry lemonade cereal are much more distinct in how they interplay in a very, very pleasing way. So I think between, you know, the grounding genuineness of the Frosted Lemon Cheerios and the bombastic, no-holds-barred punch of the strawberry lemonade, we kind of got the whole continuum of lemon goodness present here. I think it's going to be a great summer.
It's going to be a great summer. It's going to be a great cereal. What did you think about? Now, I was sent these as well, so I would love to see what you thought about the Golden Grahams and Cinnamon Toast Crunch soft-baked oat bars.
You know, the Cinnamon Toast Crunch ones, I'll say, didn't really stand out to me in any way, just because the Golden Grahams ones are so good, dude.
They're really good. They're like, really good.
This is top-tier cereal bar action. I don't know if you can really call it a cereal bar, because it's not like the traditional globbing together of different cereal components. It's rather just like, you know, a soft-baked oat bar that is really soft, but also has like bits of oat in it to give it this great like crispy sort of texture, where it kind of feels like the whole thing is like the love child of like a no-bake cookie and a Nutri-Grain bar.
Yeah.
But in the Golden Grahams case, it's also a Golden Grahams s'mores bar, so you've got a really great super melty chocolate component in there as well. A good fluffiness from some marshmallowiness, and I just think the whole thing.
The big surprise for me, and this is, I've talked on at length, probably too much, about how I generally don't find cereal snack bars to be particularly satisfying, but I thought this actually did a really good job of that. Like, it feels a lot more substantial, I think, because of the cakey oatness. Like, you really feel like you've eaten something. It's not like you finish it in 1 second, like, where I ate more of these, because I'm not.
I kind of still had that reaction.
I mean, I could still do that, right?
But so good. Right, it's definitely got more integrity and density in that sense, and satiety. Satiety. Does How do you say that?
Satiety, I think. But also, I do have to say, the Cinnamon Toast Crunch is fine. It's just like that flavor is not as distinct or like special. I think if you can have like a really good Graham, I think it's just going to stand out more than cinnamon, which has just been kind of all over the place at this point.
Yeah, I mean, because we also got, did you try like the soft-baked Pillsbury cereal cookies too?
That were yes, I did. I thought the Cinnamon Toast Crunch ones were pretty good. I thought the Lucky Charms was like, you didn't get enough of the marbit. It just kind of tasted like very sweet. And not particularly reminiscent of the cereal itself, in my estimation.
Yeah, I feel like in both those cases, you're tasting much more of the cookie than any sort of cereal addition to that. And like,
they're a soft bake, so heating them up in the microwave though for 10 seconds really did like hot. If you ever wanted to eat hot Lucky Charms,
and who hasn't?
And who hasn't, right?
Yeah, but I feel like in the case of both the Cinnamon Toast Crunch oat bars and the cookies, like, I felt like I would rather just eat maybe like a Hostess coffee cake or something that is, you know, more infused with cinnamon and permeated throughout with that sort of goodness, rather than something that feels like it's sprinkled on top as an afterthought. But go find those Golden Grahams bars if you can. You will not regret it.
What about the other entry in that box, those Chex Mix bars?
Yeah, so layering on the levels of abstraction from actual breakfast cereal, we have right. these chocolatey Chex Mix bars, which sort of lump these different Chex together with all kinds of different chocolatiness as well. I don't know, I was kind of having trouble deciphering what the different mechanisms and components of this bar was, but I was just kind of struck by how much like the wheat Chex comes through when you're eating these bars. Like, it almost has a savory, salty element to it that I did quite enjoy. These are, you know, to contrast the soft-baked oat bars, much chewier
for sure
and gooier, but I still really enjoyed them.
Yeah, very satisfying. I thought they've got one of my favorite, and I know it's gross, but in processed foods, I love like plastic chocolate. Like, you'd get on like the like Entenmann's will put on their those donuts, you know, with like the hard plasticky chocolate shell and the yellow cake inside. I love those. So this has got a little bit of that plasticky chocolate, but I really dug it with like the Chex. And like you said, the chew of this, it also feels more substantial than your traditional like cereal bar. It felt like it tasted like a good dessert that somebody had made. You know, it was a lot more satisfying than a lot of these.
Any cereal company trying to listen to us for feedback on their cereal bars is probably frustrated right now. Like, do they want more chew or less chew?
Hey, listen. Just, you got to anticipate our needs, okay? It's not our job. Our job is to test the things and eat and say what we think. You got to anticipate what we're going to like. I can't help that we're, you know, that we follow the whims of our palates. Wow, this is I'm looking over this third segment where we like to like relax a little bit and let the wind blow through our hair, such as it is, this is something that we have never talked about before. Counting down our each of our three favorite all time cereals.
Yeah, I feel like we've mentioned on this show before what some of our all-time favorites are, but it seems strange that we've never, like, you know, as a longtime cereal blogger, people are constantly asking me what my favorite cereal of all time is, and it's strange that we've never really addressed on this show and given that baseline. We're like 90 episodes deep now, and we don't have that, you know, those baseline statistics for ourselves, our credentials as reviewers laid down. So I was thinking we could probably maybe give a quick rundown of, you know, our profile, our history, our formative cereals that made us who we are today.
Wow. Now, is this, okay, do we want to limit this to extant cereals that still are manufactured? Because I feel like that's a slightly different, like I've always said, my number one.
Whoa, don't spoil it now.
Well, we've talked about it before, but I don't want that to be my number one because it's not a cereal that exists anymore. And I feel like that's not necessarily the most compelling conversationally. You know what I'm saying?
That is
true. And I also
feel
like nostalgia is coloring that quite a bit for me. I don't know. I can never have this cereal again.
Oh, man.
So I don't know if it's nostalgia or not.
Okay, well, maybe we can mention both.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. We'll give it an alternate. But do you know this list for yourself as someone who writes and thinks about cereal a lot? Is this sort of a ranking that you keep in your head somewhere, or did it take some thought?
It changes a lot, and you know, I hesitate now because like most of the cereals I have in mind are not currently available on mainstream shelves, so I do have to kind of think of some ones that are still more broadly available.
Oh, I think maybe we do the all-timers. You know, I think maybe we do the all-timers, and then like we can have some alternates at the end if you know for those that are still extant, because I would love to know like three from all of your life.
Okay, fine. That's a good idea. Do you want to alternate sort of our three and our three? Our
yeah,
two and
give
our
me
two?
Your number three.
I would say my number three would be Cap'n Crunch's Orange Crane Pop Crunch, a cereal that I've addressed in a couple recent episodes now, obviously with this citrusy renaissance we're seeing on shelves and with Malto Meal debuting an orange dreamsicle cereal that harkens back to this very niche and like very hard to find Cap'n Crunch flavor from like 5 years ago that most people never got the chance to even find. It seemed to be very regionally available. I had to have someone send it to me. So even though I call this my third favorite cereal of all time, I've only ever eaten one box of it. But that was enough to leave a meteoric impression on me because it was that good. Like, the Crunch Berries get a lot of hype in Cap'n Crunch's world, but not enough people talk about just how good, like, those chest pieces are, the treasure chest pieces.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, this cereal didn't have any Crunch Berries. It was only those pieces, but they were infused with this, like, vanilla, orangey goodness. And unlike anything that I had ever had in a cereal before, you know, I'm too young to have experienced the heyday of like Kwangaroos and OJ's cereal, so to me,
sure, right,
this was a game changer. I guess I had Yummy Mummy when it came out in 2013 as like a re-release, but that doesn't even hold a candle to just how like deeply orangey this cream pop crunch was. So Cap'n Crunch, if you're listening, as your understudy, I advise you bring this one back.
And this is one of the rare times, I can't think of too many other examples where they like change the flavor of the base biscuit, right? I mean, even in like Christmas time, the base like chests stay the same flavor and everything else changes around it. I can't think of too many other times where they've changed the actual like flavor of the main pieces.
Yeah, they've done it for like the chocolatey varieties, I believe.
Sure.
That's all that I can think of. And those don't even really count because that kind of hollows out anything that was actually good about the chest pieces to begin with, whereas the orange is like a really good compliment, a leveling up rather than a substitution. Mm. What would you say is your number three?
My number three is, I think it's going to be Blueberry Morning. And not Great Grains Blueberry Nut Crunch. And this, I hate to be this guy, but they have changed the they've changed the dried blueberries in Blueberry Nut Crunch, the new version of it. And they are bigger and they look realer and they are not as pleasant to eat. There's much less of them and they're too chunky and big. But Blueberry Morning, when that came on the scene, before it joined the Great Grains line, you got these nut clusters that are great. You've got these like tiny dried blueberries, there's sliced almonds, multigrain flakes. I mean, this cereal has it all. And it is still enjoyable. I just had a box actually like 3 days ago, so it's top of mind, but it changed somewhat over the years. And I think this is a delicious cereal. But Blueberry Morning, I think, would have to be my number three.
I'm glad you're here to rep the Great Grains line, because I feel like I never really have explored that particular family of cereals. Are there any other standout good Great Grains cereals?
The banana Great Grain is really good. Mm. The banana banana nut crunch. That's a really, really good cereal as well.
Does it mix well with the blueberry?
You know, I've never tried, but that's actually like extremely pioneering. the banana is interesting about Banana Nut Crunch is there's no actual like banana slices. Like it's just flavor of banana. There's no like dry banana or anything like that.
Interesting.
All right, Dan, number two.
Okay. Coming in at number two, Trader Joe's Raisin Bran Clusters. Organic Raisin Bran Clusters. This is one that is still available, and it is the ultimate Raisin Bran. It is unbeatable. I've talked about it many times, and I will talk about it many more times. This thing has next-level crunch with how giant the clusters are, with how crisp the flakes are. I would say the only weak point is that the raisins are kind of a little small and chewy, but when you take it all as one, just like you know, carnival of a mouthfeel and textural playground, mm-hmm. there's no beating it. And of course, the flavor is so malty and deep, and the clusters are so well toasted. I just think any Raisin Bran fan who has not tried this is deeply missing out. Like,
it's rich.
There's Raisin Bran Crunch, and then there's this. And I love both cereals, but there's no comparison. Have you tried this?
This is the number one. Is it as sweet as Raisin Bran Crunch? Because the notable thing to me is just, like, how sweet Raisin Bran Crunch is. That's what I always think about, is like, God, this is, like, this tastes sweeter than Fruity Pebbles to
no,
me.
No, it's not quite that sweet. It's a little more au naturel. It's a little bit more tempered, modest. A thinking man's Raisin Bran, if you will. And you should.
And you must. My number two cereal. Okay. It's Quaker Oat Squares.
Ooh.
And I'm not going to choose a specific variety. I probably Whoa. Would be brown sugar, but they're all equal in my heart. I probably spend the most time with brown sugar, but in terms of, like, and this is a cereal I came to a little bit later in life because it's not as bombastic, I think, as a lot of other cereals. But in terms of just, like, satisfying crunch heartiness, mm-hmm. like, it's oatmeal squares. They're these big, thick biscuits that taste like they should be dry, but they have just the right amount of, like, sweetness. And once they're soaked in milk, you get a spoonful of these things, and it feels like you're out in the fields working. It's like, it feels like you're in the shop. It's a job. You know what I mean? Like, you're not doing something else. Like, this is what you're doing, is chewing this cereal. I think it's great in any sort of, like, mix situation that you put it into. It's one of those where, like, it is one of the few where I will routinely get, like, 2/3 of the way through the bowl and just be like, I have overestimated my ability to eat this cereal because it has brought me down.
Look upon my words, ye mighty, in despair.
Right. But it's just delicious. I mean, it's like, in terms of that, the satisfaction, and the it's super hearty and just sweet enough, and I just think it's great.
That's a great choice. I wouldn't even have thought of that, but I do love me some oatmeal squares. And you're
that's
right,
that one is. Of those cereals where kind of like the Honey Nut O's, where it's like, sometimes the craving for that will just hit, and it has to be that. Like, it has to mm-hmm. be Quaker oatmeal squares.
Yeah, it's a real shame that, like, you can't easily find the golden maple variety, because I love that one mm-hmm. too.
Yeah.
Man, I feel like I need to leave this session right now and go get a box, to be honest with you.
It's really good.
Okay. So my number one is maybe a little bit controversial, because this is 100% admittedly clouded by nostalgia and my own personal relationship to this cereal, but it's Neopets Island Berry Crunch. And it came out in 2006, and there's no way this cereal is as good as I remember it being, but I remember it being so good. Like, tons of different cereals will try this sort of mixed berry approach, and a lot of the time they end up just tasting the exact same. But this one had, like, to the best of my recollection, this intimate, like, blend of blueberries and grape flavor and some cherry bits to it, too. Which, again, probably just concocting that from the depths of my mind. But I also just loved Neopets as a kid, and I loved how masterfully marketed this cereal was, where, you know, you could get a free Neopets trading card inside the box. You could log on to Neopets and buy a box of Neopets Island Berry Crunch in-universe and feed it to your Neopet as you ate it in real life. And that kind of immersion is not something you're going to get with It's the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown cereal anymore with your free trial of Apple TV, let me tell you. And, you know, obviously I can't really taste this cereal now to see how well it lives up to my memory. Years ago, our friend Gabe from Cereal Time sent me a sealed box of this stuff, and I reviewed it even though it had been, like, 11 years expired. And, of course, it tasted terrible, like, you know, red wine and fermented drywall, basically.
Hey.
But I like now that the review that I posted of it and my recollection of it is now, like, the go-to resource for Neopets historians. Like, sometimes I'll watch, like, Neopets, like, you know, video essays on YouTube or something. And without fail, if they talk about this cereal, they'll end up including my photos. So I like that not only has the cereal impacted me, but I have in turn impacted Neopets history in some small way through my coverage of it. So definitely nostalgia goggles are thick on this one, but
yeah,
for my own personal foundational formative cereal, it's hard to top Neopets Island Berry Crunch.
I tell you, Dan, there is a non-zero chance that if we were to taste your number one cereal and my number one cereal, it would taste exactly the same. This is where I'm at currently, is like, I feel like this is probably the same cereal. Mine is Smurf Berry Crunch. It is almost the exact same situation where it was made for just a couple years. Differences between these were like berry shapes. I think it's probably the same, like you would see in like Berry Kicks, that kind of deal, where it's like the clustered of berry shapes. You had some, it was corn, oat, and wheat. Come on. And you had some like blueberries and red berries, and there's just something about this exact blend of chemicals that they dumped in those grains. I don't know what it was. It's not even like that great looking of a cereal, but it's just like I nothing has ever topped it. The only thing I've tasted, and I'm not even sure I would recognize it, right, if I did taste it,
mm-hmm.
but like I, the only thing that's come close is that Trolls Berry cereal that they had a little bit ago.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, there's something in the chemicals here that alters your DNA to make you into a future cereal podcaster.
Yeah. Yeah. But that would be my number one.
Good choice.
Hey, out of curiosity, because where are we at? Well, you know what? Why don't we do cereals in production next time? Because I think we only had one, right? No, two. Both of our number twos are still in production.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll come back with a list of currently available ones.
But I'm not sure. You know, you would think by default then that would make Quaker Oat Squares and your number two, Raisin Nut Clusters.
Raisin, is that right? Organic Raisin Bran Clusters from Trader Joe's.
Okay, like, you would think those would make our number one cereals currently in production, but I'm not actually sure that's true for me.
How does that work?
I know, right? Yeah, I'll have to think about it. But when I say, like, because there is a, you know what, part of it is, well, you know what? This is a conversation for another time. Dan, let's put a pin in that,
mm-hmm.
and we'll see how our currently active list compares to our all-timers. But this is fun. I love ranking stuff.
Me too.
I think that it's a lot of fun and kind of meaningless, and that's what makes it so great.
Okay, while we're at it though, quick flyby question. How would you rank the monster cereals?
Boo Berry number one, everything else is fighting for number four. I mean, it's not even a contest.
That's from a flavor perspective. I mean, I agree that Boo Berry is the best character.
Boo Berry is number one, hands down.
For me, number one, Yummy Mummy, then probably Boo Berry, then Fruit Brute, then Chocula, then Frankenberry last place.
Frankenberry's the worst. We can all agree on that. Frankenberry's really bad.
His cousin, though, she seems cool.
Yes, cool. Thanks so much for listening, Dan. Who do we owe gratitude to?
We'd like to thank Chris Zabriskie for our opening theme of The Sun is Scheduled to Come Out Tomorrow, Bria Davis for our amazing podcast branding, as well as M. Loper and Samuel Rarden for designing our Empty Bowl merchandise.
If you would like to support our show, you can do so at bowl.rest. That is also the website where you can go to leave us a voicemail. There's a support this podcast button on there. If you click that, you can pledge anywhere from $1 a month to $10 a month. That's split between our show and a shelter for people experiencing homelessness here in Huntington, West Virginia. So you're helping us and helping some people that need it. And, you know, It's a good thing you can do if you're in a position to do it, of course. Or at least voicemail, or you can mail us, mail at bull.rest. We'd love to hear from you. Dan, anything I'm forgetting?
You're forgetting to drink something, or maybe you're not forgetting to drink something.
No, it's something about milk.
Don't forget to drink the ambiguously fruity flavored milk of a cereal that will disappear from your life, but still forever alter the trajectory of your journalism career.
The incredible eternal milk with the flavor that you can never recapture. That is nostalgia. Make sure you savor every sip. You know what I would give to drink the milk from one bowl of Smurfberry Crunch?